When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmar, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Happy Tuesday. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boysen and Mario Tirabassi. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see we have a special guest with us in studio. It is Chicago Steel head coach and Notre Dame hockey legend, Brock Sheehan. Brock, how's it going? Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Our live studio audience approves of of the guest of the day, and you know, it's getting to be draft time, and it's getting to be, you know, that's where our minds are going. And for those that don't know, the Chicago Steel play in the USHL. It's a tier one junior program, the only one in the United States. And a couple years ago, I went out and dropped the puck at a Steel game when I was with the Score, and didn't really know what to expect. My God, it's great hockey. It is so fun to watch. In last year's draft, 9 USHL hockey players were drafted in the NHL draft. So it's great hockey right in our backyard. Brock, tell us about the Chicago Steel. Tell us about the USHL.
Yeah. I think the number was a little bit higher than that because we had 7 players go in the
USHL. Was it 9 in the first round?
It was 7 off our roster. 9 in the first round.
Did I not say first round?
That makes sense.
Yeah, 9 in the first round.
We had 3 in the first round, 2 off our roster, and then Owen Power was the number 1 overall pick. He had played 2 years for us and played at Michigan. But yeah, to your point, it's high level hockey. You know, and I think a lot of people don't know that it's right in our backyard here. But yeah, we're very fortunate to have elite players every year, and the league has gotten better and better and better and continues to move on high-level players to college and then to the NHL.
Well, for fans who might not know too familiar with the USHL, what type of players are you guys getting there? The age group, where you're getting them from? I know they come from all over the world, literally, to play in the league and here at the Steel. So what kind of info can you give us on that?
Yeah, I think hockey's a different path, right? You know, most other sports, you're going from high school right to college, right? Junior hockey is kind of in between that. So we'll have players from 15 to 20, for the most part, 16. For our team, for the most part, 16, 17, 18-year-olds. We're one of the youngest teams, if not the youngest team in the league every year. And we have players from all over the world, like you said. We've had players from Slovakia, Czech Republic, Sweden, Finland, and then all over North America. So we have players a lot of Canadians, and then we'll have players from California to New York. So it's a lot of sacrifices that these young players make to chase their dreams, and we're fortunate to have a lot of good kids in our program.
Yeah, I know a lot of kids go from the USHL to college. That's kind of like the path a lot of, and you guys have had a lot of success. Mainly, like, you guys have seemed to be the feeder team for either Harvard or Michigan. What's going on? Like, those are the two schools that your best players seem to go to.
Yeah, I think we had 6 players on Harvard last year, and we had three first-round picks on Michigan last year.
I mean, are they sending you guys a little cut of anything?
You can't do that. Not in NCAA. But no, I think it just has to do with the type of players we get. Honestly, our style of play fits those programs. And then the type of kids that we're getting, the actual people fit those programs very well. So some of the kids before some of the NCAA rule changes were committed before we got them, or when we drafted them when they were, 15 years old. Since then, it's just been a fit with the programs. It's been something that has to do, I think, with the style of play and, like I said, the type of kids that we get.
Well, I know the Blackhawks and are going through a rebuild, and this year's draft is important for them. They have a couple players that have, come from the Chicago Steel, and one in particular is Josiah Slavin that I know that you've had some experience with. He's a young guy that, is kind of coming up into the system. For a team like the Blackhawks, where they're at, and a player like Slavin, like where do you see him as his career has, progressed, being going from the Steel to, college to now becoming pro? Like what kind of player is he, and what kind of, person is he? How's he fit into the team?
First off, he's an amazing person. I would say one of the most quality people we've had in our organization in the 4 years, going on year five now. He's just a special person. We actually traded for him, and he just upgraded our locker room right away. He helped lead us to a Clark Cup final. We ended up losing to Sioux Falls. If we don't trade for him, we don't get there. And to me, he's someone, I actually skated with him last summer. He's exactly progressing the way that we thought we would once we had spent time with him. He's a high energy player. He has a high level of skill set. He's not the greatest skater, but his motor and his compete level are elite. And he's the type of guy that's going to add depth throughout an organization. And, I see him more in that bottom six role for the Hawks, which is what we thought he would get to. And I think just having a player like that in your organization is going to help.
What's the relationship like between the Steel and the Blackhawks being so close together? I know it's not necessarily like a minor league program, but I got to imagine, their scouting department is if they're smart, they're talking to you guys a lot. About
yeah, yeah. These guys. I think most NHL teams, I think I've talked to every NHL team leading up to the draft. I know Mike Garman, our GM, he's talked to every team multiple times, whether it's their assistant GM, GM, or scouts, the area scouts. We've had a few players drafted, and I feel like it's easier for them to get into the building. I know that in past years, like high-level management has spent time in our rink with the players that we've had there. I think a lot of times it depends on where the draft picks line up, like who's available and where our players fall in the draft and depending on the amount of picks. But I think I haven't looked at the Chicago like draft board, but I think we have a couple guys that, like a Nick Moldenauer who could be like a second round. I think he's got first round talent, but he's probably going to go somewhere in the second round, third round area. And I know it's someone that is definitely on their radar.
The Blackhawks have 5 picks in the second and third round, so they got a shot at him.
I'd say we have like 3 players that would fit that mold, depending on what an organization is looking for with Nick Moldenauer, Zamplant, and Jake Livanovich.
So I remember the first time I saw the Steel logo was on center ice at the Edge in Bensenville when we would go report on Hawks practices when they were there. And something changed, right? 2015, Larry Robbins buys the team, moves you from Bensenville to Geneva, and all of a sudden the Steel just start to just blast off from there. What was the key change there? Like what has sort of made the Steel make that next step from – sort of a fringe thing to a really successful, blooming, and super respected program?
Yeah, we have the resources to get the right people in place. We don't play in the best rink in the USHL, not by far. Like, we love Fox Valley. It's our home. The guts of the facility, our area, is high level as far as it goes for junior. Just the way the kids are taken care of, the ability to train with the weight room. We have a really good weight room that's getting upgraded. Our relationship with GVN, who's based out of Chicago, they train a lot of high-end NHLers. They're connected with the U.S. national development team. But I think the most important piece is Larry Robbins, as an owner, is aligned in our goals as an organization. Development of the individual is what we're here to do. That's what junior hockey is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to, a lot of times what happens is winning gets in the way of developing players, honestly, at that age. And our main focus is to develop the individual. And if you don't have the support of ownership, management, as a coach, you can't do that. So I think our first season, actually Greg Moore is our head coach, Ryan Hardy, who's now with the, they're both in the Maple Leafs organization. Ryan Hardy was a GM. We started 2-8. And in a USHL season, like if you look at the last couple of years, you start 2-8. We're not talking about a couple of weeks here. We're talking, you know, at the start of the year, you're usually playing 2-game weekends throughout the year. There might be a 1-game weekend, and early in the season, there might be an off weekend. You're talking almost 2 months, and that's when a lot of times moves are made. People lose their jobs. Not in this case, because you know Larry, in connection with Ryan and our hockey staff, could see that our process was what we wanted to do. The players were getting better. The results weren't there, and it's easier said than done. It's tough. You think about the Hawks or how, you know, at the NHL level, results is everything. For us, we don't really talk about winning. It's been a result of what we do as a program. And I feel like the most important piece is that our players, when they leave the Steel, they're much better for it. They have lasting habits, and, you know, you get to see them like an Owen Power. I watch him play his first couple games, and I'm like, man, those are things he learned with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. You know?
Well, sort of on the same track, you know, you guys are – it's hard enough for NHL GMs to draft junior players, mm-hmm. but for when you're drafting kids that are kids,
yeah, they're kids,
14, 15, how do you project not only growth in hockey, but physical growth? You know, like, how do you know, it's like, is this kid who's, you know, 5'6", 140 pounds, is he going to grow? When you're evaluating that part of a prospect, it's always fascinated me. What are some of the tools you can use to kind of project those things?
Yeah, I feel like the way we build our team, I think other teams in our league are trying to do it. We focus a lot on the phase one draft, which is the youngest draft. So that's first year draft eligible players. So there's going to be players in there that are 120 pounds.
Yeah.
That might not play for you for a couple of years, that are 5'6", 5'4". And you do the research. Like, you get to know their parents. You know, we drafted this kid, Junior Podine. His dad, Sean Podine, played in the NHL. Like, he's not small. And I think Junior is like really like 5'4 right now and 126 pounds, but he's going to grow, you know, and whether he grows to be 5'9, 5'10, 6'1, his hockey sense, his compete level, like the things that we value in our players, his skill set, those three things are extremely high level. So at some point he'll play for us. It's just a matter of when. Josh Doan is probably the best example. Shane Doan's son in the second round, last draft. He got passed over in his first draft. If you look at him when he was drafted by the Steel, by Ryan Hardy, I think he was like 140 pounds, maybe 5'8", and he's still growing. In, you know, he's almost 6'2".
Yeah.
He's going to play in the NHL over 200 pounds. And for us, he literally grew while he was on our roster, you know. So I think that's how we do it. It's an inexact science. But we're looking for the right kids, number one, and then they have those three attributes, and hopefully that's how you fit to be a Steel player.
Bloodlines help, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a Doan and a Podine, you're pretty much guaranteed. Yeah,
that doesn't hurt.
They're kind of piggyback off of that one. I spent 2 seasons scouting in the North American League, which was same level but lower tier than USHL, for those not familiar with it. Another junior league dealing with, you know, essentially teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, just working there, that general manager, head coach, you wear a lot of different hats during the course of a season. You're not just going behind the bench and coaching. Yeah. There's 100 different things per day you've got. So what other kind of things, besides making sure your team is prepared and winning hockey games, no pressure, but what are kind of the other things behind the scenes that in a daily life of running a junior team?
Yeah, for us, we're trying to do things at the highest level. So it's like, it's their schedule, it's... We had, I think, 17 players in high school. Like, that's not normal for a USHL program. You might have 5. So making sure they're on top of their education, that the schedule's set up properly, that they're doing study hall correctly, that they're on top of their school, that they're eligible, not only eligible to go to a school, but you're talking about kids going to Harvard, Michigan. I mean, we're not talking about, like, just any school here. There are academics. They need to be done at the highest level. And then the travel, the making sure we try to, so that's another thing, forget about drafting. We usually try to tender 1 or 2 players. So this year we tendered 206s. So making sure that we get the right player, the highest level player possible that fits our style of play. So we're having kids come in on visits, making sure they fit our culture, community service. You know, there's a lot of that. And then just making sure that our players are getting what they signed up for, what we promised. You know, not everybody gets to play on our roster. So we'll have guys in development roles, guys that'll play 40 games for us instead of 60. And they making sure that they're actually getting better that way. It's better for them with where they are as a 16-year-old so that in the next season they can step up and take the reins. And that's how we've been able to build a sustainable model. But it's a lot of work. It's not just showing up to the rink at, 1 o'clock going out for practice. Like, we're there from 7:30 to 6 and with our staff and doing everything we can to help the player.
The USHL, the Steel have been one of the premier programs over the last couple of years, two Clark Cups in the last handful of years. When you look at the league and how the Steel stack up against the league and you see that, you know, the talent there, when you, I pull it back to the U.S. development program, how they have, you know, their own team within the USHL. Yeah. What is that like playing against some of these, you know, U.S. players in that program where that too is also like a big feeder into the draft? Do you look at that as like one of the biggest like kind of measuring sticks where you look at from talent standpoint?
Yeah, like we'll have players, you know, like a Ryan Ufko who went, I think, in the fourth round in Nashville. He wanted to play at the national team. He doesn't make the national team, but he's a player that we thought fit us perfect. And our job with a player like that is to make him, hopefully he feels he got better playing for us than even going there. You know, we don't necessarily take American players from going there. They do a great job. It is a measuring stick playing the U18s. Both teams play in the league. So they play as 17s, they play half the schedule, and then the 18s play the other half. And usually the 17s year is hard for those guys. And then by the time they're the 18s, like they should be one of the best teams in the league. It's usually hard for them to make the playoffs because of that balance, depending on the year, unless they have an anomaly 17s team that can not only hang but win. But when you play the U18s, especially for us, we usually use that as like a measuring stick to see where we're at, and we usually have extremely competitive games. You're talking about the highest end American players for the most part are playing there. Obviously, you know, you look at our roster, not this season, the past season, we had two American players go in the first round. So the American hockey's in a great spot. There's a lot of good players. And then the rest of the league is unbelievable. There's other programs. I think everybody's pushing each other to just do things at the highest level. Some teams build their team differently. I think when we beat Fargo in the finals, not this season, the past season, their average age was over 19. Ours was under 18. You know, like that's a significant difference in the strength and speed of a player. And the two teams built completely differently.
So I want to talk about your career. You played 4 years at Notre Dame. Then you wanted to play in the ECHL, DEL, AHL. Mm-hmm. When did you decide you want to be a coach? Is that something you've known you wanted to do for a long time? Was that kind of your trajectory?
It was something I love the game of hockey. I always have. I especially at Notre Dame, I feel like Coach Jackson, Coach Pooley, Coach Slager, those guys had a huge impact on my life. And I really think they helped mold who I am today as a person, as a father, as a husband. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm done playing hockey. Like, I can't do anything else. I think it's time to be done playing hockey. And I would love to impact young men and players the way they impacted me. And I love going to the rink every day. And it wasn't something, I guess, when I was like playing junior hockey.
Do one contact lenses make it easy for me to go into even the most intense drum solo with confidence?
While at the radar.
We're having some technical difficulties.
No worries. Yeah.
Damn autoplay videos.
Autoplay videos.
It's not that much of a career. We don't need to show that. Oh, man. No, that's okay.
Well, I don't know how much you've been paying attention, but we don't think the Blackhawks are going to be all that competitive this year. And
What?
There's a guy that you're quite familiar with that Hawks fans should probably have on their radar, and we're talking about Adam Fantilli, who a lot of experts say he can you hear the terms franchise-altering talent. Any other draft class probably would be the number one overall pick, but there's Connor Bedard, there's Mitch Kaufman. You got three amazing talents. Hypothetically, the Blackhawks are lucky enough to draft Adam Fantilli a year from now. What would we be able to expect, or why should Blackhawk fans want to make that pick?
I've never seen – I remember the first time he stepped on the ice with us. I've never seen just someone with that innate physical talent right away. That was the first thing that stuck out. The way he shoots a puck, his explosiveness. Like when he crosses over, just like how explosive he is out of a cut-up. His ability to break down players one-on-one. And that was always, you know, the buzz around Adam has always been his physical talent, which is elite, elite, elite. I think the amazing thing and the reason he came to play for us is I think he added layers to his game. Whereas a lot of guys, when they're that physically gifted, they just rely on that the rest of their career and kind of see what happens. Not only does he drive the play by himself, he's added the ability to make plays, be aware of where his teammates are. He's a complete player. Like in the finals for us 2 years ago, he looked like a professional hockey player at 16 years old. But not just like his physical talent, his work off the puck, his ability to move off the puck. I was amazed. And I'm excited for him to go to play college hockey, which is more challenging than say playing 3 years of junior hockey. And he's going to be pro ready to go after his draft year. And yeah, I don't know. Is he, you know, Bedard's got a lot of hype. They played together on that U18 team. Adam actually had more points, but Bedard can score probably at a higher level. He just drives the play. He drives the play, and he's a complete player off the puck as well. So whoever gets him, wherever he goes, I have a great relationship with Adam. And at our year-end meeting, our exit meeting, obviously we were disappointed getting upset in the second round. I just think it doesn't matter if he goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, wherever he goes, he's going to keep getting better. And that's the thing that we try to instill in our players. It doesn't matter where you get drafted. You have to keep getting better.
Yeah.
There's first-round draft picks that don't reach the level they should because they think it's done. Like, you're never done getting better. And the habits he's created playing for us the last 2 years are going to help him achieve, I think, the sky's the limit for him.
What you're describing to me reminds us of what we've sort of seen with Alex DeBrincat. He came in as a guy who was small and could definitely score goals, but he's added that, you know, the rest of the game to his game, and now he's a complete player, and he's going to make a ton of money wherever it is, here or elsewhere. Is there, for Fantilli, is there an NHL comp you would make? Is there a player that you see playing now that reminds you of him? Or
people have said McKinnon.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah,
like,
no,
like,
yeah.
Like the physical tools, the pace. And that's the other thing. Like, people will say Adam is – he's not tapped out physically. We know this because of – we have a full-time strength coach that, again, like we know that there's still room to grow for him physically. And, like, he's not – his frame isn't filled out. His pop looks like he's done, but he's, like, 187 pounds. You know, like, he's not – he could play at 195, 200.
Yeah.
So I think that people have said that just with his skill set and the pace that he plays with.
Some of the highlights that were coming out after games this year of him were, it's like, that is a man among boys. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
And it just looks incredible. So with the 2022 draft, who are some of the guys coming out? Fantilli will be 2023. Who's going to be available in next week's? Wow, next week's.
Yeah, coming up here. Off our roster next, like, to me, Nick Moldenauer, I think he's underrated. He was in the hospital with an undisclosed, we still don't know the illness, for like a month, lost 10, 15 pounds at the start of the year. Then he took a skate to the face.
Ooh,
it's a tough year.
A lot of stitches, very dangerous, very scary. He had to have surgery for like 3.5 hours. He ended up with 43 points in 41 games in his draft years, his first year in the first year in the USHL. It's extremely difficult to do something like that. He reminds me of like a, I don't know if you remember, like Mike Richards. First round draft pick, like the Flyers in LA. Like he reminds me of him. I think he slips in the draft. Maybe he goes second round. I think he's a late first round talent. But he'll be back with us next year, actually. I think he's unbelievable. So a guy like him, like he'll go. Zam Plant is just behind him in the rankings. He'll go mid-round somewhere. Hunter McDonald, who's in his last year draft eligible, I guarantee you he gets drafted. Jake Livinovich will definitely go. He's one of the best defensemen in the league, committed to North Dakota. Just an elite skater. So I would say we're all four guys go this year off our roster, possibly five or six if a couple other guys go late. We won't have the same as last year where we had eight steals, seven off our roster, but there's not many teams that have four guys go off to the roster. So right, it'll be pretty good. And then the following year, obviously Fantilli will be at Michigan, but he played for us for 2 years. I think Jaden Perron is a first-round talent. He's unbelievable from Winnipeg. The way he moves, he's like a Braden Point, Barzell-type player. Like, he is unbelievable. I think he'll be one of the best players in the league next year, along with Moldenauer. And Jack Harvey, who could go in this draft as well.
You know, it's interesting, you know, the USHL, Chicago Steel, the path of development is so important because, you're taking kids in drafts at, you know, 14, 15 years old, players at 16, and you see them, you know, progress into draft-eligible prospects, and then from there it's on to, you know, the teams that draft them and whatnot, or colleges. What is your kind of take on the patience needed in development, because for so long a lot of top draft picks are, you know, 18 years old, 19 years old, jumping right into the NHL. And then in Chicago here we have Kirby Dach, who was third overall pick, 18 years old, you know, had a pretty good rookie season, but since then everything has kind of been derailed or stalled and people are starting to get impatient with him. What is the role of development through the years, and you know, what do you see as being one of the most important things to have in that path?
Patience is huge. I think it all depends on the player, right? Where they're at physically, where the organization is at, as far as the NHL team. But like for us, like we look at a guy, I'll use Nick Moldenauer again. He's going to be a high draft pick, you know, second, late first round, second, third round draft picks. Those guys are high picks. He's going to come back and play for us because it's right for him to dominate a league, do you know what I mean? And then go to college and then play pro. A guy like Jackson Blake, fourth round pick, that played for us last season, led our team in scoring, he's just physically not there. You know, he might be one of the most talented players we've ever had. I almost guarantee you he plays in Carolina, but it's going to be, he played another year with us, he's going to play at North Dakota for 2-3 years, then play pro, and then he's going to be there physically. It just depends on where a person is. And I feel like, you know, if an organization, you invest in somebody, you believe in somebody, you have to have that patience, you know, and you have to put the right pieces around them as far as the right development coaches, the right coaching staff, the right strength coaches, and make sure it's the right person. But you can't rush those things. I think that's how you can break a player. You know what I mean? You need to be there to support them. And at least with, like, especially at our level, that's what we're trying to do, is set our guys up so they have the tools to be successful when they leave us.
Yeah, the balance of development and winning has to be a challenge, and you guys are doing a great job of doing both.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I've sung the praises of the Steel game as many times, but, you know, if someone's on the fence about going to see a game next year, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I think it's extremely high level hockey. Like, obviously we're not the Hawks, we're not even the Wolves, but we might have more first round draft picks playing. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're just younger,
right?
Like, we'll have Macklin Celebrini and Michael Haig, two 2006 tenders for us playing for us next year as 16-year-olds. Celebrini is a first round pick in the WHL. Michael Haig would have been a top three, but he tendered with us. He's ninth in the OHL. Like, these kids they were at our camp. I was so impressed. I knew the type of kids we're getting and how talented they are. But you're talking about two of the best North American 06 birth year players in our backyard, not to mention the guys that are going to be drafted that we already talked about, or Jaden Perron, that's a first round talent. And then our style of play, like, we like to score goals. So we score a lot of goals. I think we've averaged the most goals in the league the last 3 years. 2 years ago, we were almost scoring 5 goals a game. So it's a lot of fun. They are young, so they're going to make mistakes. It's a different brand of hockey, but the skill set is absolutely ridiculous. And yeah, if you have young kids, I'm sure they would enjoy it.
Well, I think it's a perfect time for Blackhawk fans to jump on and start paying more attention to Steel, as the Blackhawks are just in the beginning of tearing it down and starting over. Mm-hmm. I think Blackhawk fans are going to be looking to the future more than they ever have been before in the last 12 years. Now's the perfect time to go take the short drive out to Geneva. You guys got a new restaurant there at the arena. Grab a meal, see some future NHL players, hopefully some future Blackhawks.
Yeah.
And just it's a great family experience. You know, it's affordable. Bring the kids. Yeah. It's a great time. I'd recommend it to anybody who wants to check out some and it's great hockey. Don't go in there thinking you're going to see the NHL, but just know you're going to see some future NHL talent on both sides of the ice. It's a great time.
Honestly, when I went to the first time, I was stunned. I was like, this is awesome. This is great. Like, the hockey was great. It was fast-paced, high-scoring, without it being like, you know, I think there are slow, low leagues that make it kind of gimmicky. This is just flat-out awesome hockey from really young players with bright futures. To me, it is the best minor league ticket in town. No doubt. It's fantastic.
Absolutely. We're gonna have to have a CHGO night there.
Hell yes, we should.
I like that idea.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. That'd be a lot of fun.
I wonder if I know a guy over there that can make that happen.
Well, Brock, we want to thank you for coming by. Dan Vatch, who's off camera. You want to come around and say wave? No. Thanks for bringing Brock in here. We love that we've established this relationship with you guys, and let's keep it going. And hopefully, 2023. Adam Fantilli, Chicago Blackhawk, that would be fantastic.
That would be nice.
Yeah, maybe Jaden Perron late round. That would be unbelievable.
Sure, sure.
Get we did check, by the way. He is not related to David Perron.
So we'll allow it.
So we there will allow go. It. Yes, absolutely. Brock, that thanks works. So much for coming on.
Thank you.
We hope everybody enjoyed that interview, and just want to remind you that the best way to support CHGO is to download that PointsBet app and use the code CHGO when you sign up. Do that right now, and you'll get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000, but that's not it. Make a $50 or more first-time deposit, and you'll receive a free CHGO membership. That unlocks all of our great web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. So, recapping, $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, a free t-shirt from the CHGO locker, all that for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. It's your home for live in-play betting. You see an edge in the game you're watching? Is your favorite team primed for a comeback? Don't just watch the game. Bet along with it live. More live betting, more live markets, and faster live cash outs. Follow along with your bets the moment they hit and stay in the live action all game long. And remember, you can download that PointsBet app right now from start to finish and use that code CHGO when you do. So what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate your live betting game. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. A little tip, I put it on the Discord yesterday, on our CHGO Discord. Logan Cooley, who Chris Peters liked as the number one overall pick, was plus 900 to go first overall in the draft. So you got a couple extra bucks laying around?
Take that bet, I
not a
say.
Bad bet.
It's good value.
Put a few units on that bet because Bob McKenzie's prospect rankings came out, and Shane Wright was not number one. So, yeah, I think a lot of people I think Greg's made the point a few times. People are talking themselves out of Shane Wright, and the first overall pick is not as slam dunk as we might think.
Yeah,
it might
McKenzie liked
Yuri Slafkovsky,
right?
Yeah.
So it's something to keep an eye on. But I saw those odds, and who knows if they've moved since I placed the wager myself yesterday. But very, very pleased with that one.
Yeah, that would be I mean, we're going to have our draft show on Thursday night. And a few weeks ago, I was thinking, wow, the first few picks will be pretty predictable. And now it's just like, it's opening up.
It's kind of fun to have a draft where you don't know who's going number one.
Yeah.
We haven't had one of those in forever.
A few seasons.
So it's kind of fun. I mean, we thought that was all said and done at Shane Wright, but now who knows?
Hey, yeah. I mean, last week, the NBA draft, people made a lot of money on Paolo Banchero going first overall because his odds went crazy. Like, he was up 25-1 at one point to go number one overall.
Yeah.
And so bettors were kind of just not hammering it, but, like, hammering it.
Starting to,
And, you know, Woj had a tweet that went one way in the morning, and then the lines went crazy, and then so yeah, people made some money, including Jake Flanagan, our GM.
Hey, there you go.
A little $6 points bet made $115 for him.
Wow, Imagine having the influence of Woj. Where you just like tweet something somewhat vague and it moves the lines on the draft.
Imagine when you're wrong.
And then, yeah, being wrong.
It's pretty rare, though, with that guy.
It's quite the roller coaster. I'm sure that makes the stomach churn.
I'm a Shams guy myself.
Ah.
You know.
Shams.
Mario knows what I'm talking
if you're,
about.
Yeah. So if you're placing some wagers on who's going to be selected in what position, you know, you're going to need a strong stomach to have those bets out there. And to help you with that, get yourself some Athletic Greens and their AG1 formula designed to improve your gut health, optimize your immune system, and give you more natural energy. In just one scoop of AG1, you absorb 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens, and they help you start your day right. If you have different dietary restrictions, whatever they might be, dairy-free, gluten-free, keto, paleo, whatever it is, with AG1, you're good to go. It's easy to incorporate into your life no matter how busy you might be. It's just a small once-a-day habit with big benefits. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. Just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/CHGOBlackhawks. That is athleticgreens.com/CHGOBlackhawks to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
All right. Luke Richardson is still the Blackhawks head coach.
Yes, 24 hours later.
He will be introduced to the media tomorrow, Wednesday, at Hawk Quarter. No, not Hawk Quarters. The Blackhawk store. Sorry.
The Blackhawk store. Old
Hawk Quarters is such a better name. I'm sorry.
1999 call, Jay.
Yeah. I'm with you, Jay. I like Hawk Quarters.
Why would you change it to Hawk?
Should have had it at Gunzo's.
I know the Blackhawk store tells you a little more what it is, but Hawk Quarters, that's a great name. Anyway, so that's at 11 tomorrow. We'll be on the air here live at 2 p.m. after the three of us are at the Blackhawk store. And getting to ask some questions.
We'll let you know
Richardson.
If the Alex DeBrincat jerseys are in clearance. We will break the news that he will be traded.
We'll take a look at the clearance rack and see who's there.
We'll jump on PointsBet first. Then we'll let you know because we don't want to move the line too much.
Right.
You know. So I guess the question is
the lines there.
Yeah. Exactly. what are we looking forward to hearing from Luke Richardson? What do you guys want to hear? What do you hope the message is? You know, when the presser begins tomorrow. I know we don't want to hear a bunch of cliches, and I know from all reports, Luke is a pretty thoughtful and, you know, well-spoken guy, so I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. What are you guys wanting to hear from the new Hawks head coach tomorrow?
I think we got a little bit of a taste of it in the press release from Kyle Davidson and from Luke Richardson, kind of just speaking about wanting to build the Blackhawks culture, wanting to, you know, rebuild it basically, not only the team and the roster, but also the culture around the organization. I think we're going to hear a lot about that, whether it's cliche or not. It'll probably sound a little cliche, but it is coming from this team needed a culture change. So I think we're going to hear a lot about that, and I'm looking forward to see if they can articulate a little bit more of what the change of culture can be, what the, you know, having the right people, quote unquote, doing things the right way, quote unquote. I'd like to hear a little bit more of an articulation of what they want to do. And I think Richardson in his press release statement said something to the effect of like, I want to have trust with my players and have that be kind of like a two-way street. And because trust with the players, trust with the organization, it all comes down to, you know, more open and honest communication. And I think that that's something that the team will really benefit from. And from all accounts, it seems like that's something he can bring.
I want to hear specifics. I know he's had the job for 24 hours. It'll be 48 hours. So I'm sure he's can't get too specific. But as far as we know, when this team is back in the playoffs, there are very few guys, if any, that are going to be on this year's roster that is going to be on that roster. The majority of that roster hasn't even been drafted yet.
Potentially, yeah.
But I want to know, is there a specific prospect or prospects that he has access to starting now that he says, yes, I can make that guy an NHL player. Mm-hmm. I'm what's missing. I can take Kirby Doc to that next level. Or all those young defensemen. Hey, Nicholas Bodine has struggled the last 2 years. He's still a first-round talent. I can make him reach his potential and then some and make him worthy of that first-round pick. I want to hear specifics about, you know, what players he's looking forward to working with and getting to that next level and how he's going to do that, how he's going to accomplish that. You know, I think he realizes he's got a lot of work ahead of him, but everything you hear out of Montreal, Laura Saba told us about it. There's been a lot of stuff written about him the last couple of days. The young players love playing for him as well as the veterans. And I want to hear more about what makes him the right coach to develop these young players.
I like that. And I think specifics are really kind of tough to have a coach get to. So the fact that we're there can be good when we can ask about specific players. It all depends on how the thing goes. And he might say we're off the hop. Like, look, I haven't really had a chance to really dive into the roster yet, but I would like to hear, like,
hey, Luke,
like
I'm going to go down a list of players. Who do you think is here? Think, who stays, who goes?
Because something about this attracted him to the job. Because, look, like, Richardson, if he wanted to wait a year, right, and Montreal's probably going to bounce back a little bit from this season. They had so many injuries and so many things go wrong. They're going to be a little bit better next year, that he's still going to be a candidate for somebody next year. So there was something about this program that attracted him, aside from I get to be an NHL head coach.
Right.
Right. He had to look at the situation and say, this is a thing. It's going to be tough, but I can see myself succeeding. Right. So I want to know, what did he see specifically? Maybe it wouldn't even be a player or a list of players, but maybe it's the ownership environment. Maybe it's the GMs and the staff around that. Who knows? That's what I want to know. What, you take a look at the Chicago Blackhawks as they stand today and where they could potentially stand a year from now with Kane and Taves gone and potentially DeBrincat traded and yada, yada, yada. What made this appealing specifically?
Yeah, the idea that if he didn't get this head coaching job, he would have gone back to Montreal. Because he wasn't really tied to any other head coaching vacancies. Yeah, I think that's a really good way to look at it. Like, what about Chicago made it so intriguing that he would leave a position that, you know, he had some comfort in, he had some time put in Montreal, and could have, you know, the Canadiens are one of the top marketed teams across the league, especially being, you know, an original six team in Canada. Like, eyes are going to be on you. So if he had had any success going back to Montreal in his assistant's role next year, he would have had probably a bigger selection of head coaching opportunities, to your point. But yeah, there could be something about the Blackhawks and maybe just the opportunity to really put his full stamp on a rebuilding process as a head coach that intrigued him. But yeah, I think getting into that would be interesting to hear.
I think there's not going to be a ton of pressure right off the bat. That's got to be appealing too, especially coming from a place like Montreal where it is not like it is here when it comes to Blackhawks. He's going to be like refreshed to go. Like,
even if
there's only four guys here from my conference, my press conference, we're in Montreal, there'd be 40 different reporters there.
Yeah.
And you know, it would be a 2-hour process. You know, the pressure to win is not going to be here right away.
Even if Canadian teams are bad, they're expected to win.
Right. So,
but yeah, here in Chicago,
that's got to be
different.
Attractive to know that, hey, I can come in here and there's no expectations to win year one, year two, maybe not even year three. So he gets to grow and develop as a head coach too, along with these players.
Yeah.
And if he's a guy that can come into, you know, an original six franchise, a team that has had a lot of success recently, a lot more recent success than the Montreal Canadiens have had, and he can get this team back to that level, I mean, that makes his career. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about retreads all the time, mm-hmm. but this guy comes in here, and in 6, 7, 8 years, he wins the Stanley Cup. He's got a job for life. He'll be that guy that gets fired and hired every 2 years, but at least he'll have that. Like, so that's got to be, you know, that's a legacy builder to come here. Definitely. To a team like this. You go to a team like the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are rebuilding, and it doesn't hold the same weight. No offense to Columbus or, you know, the Arizona Coyotes. Sure, you get the Arizona Coyotes the respectability in the playoffs. You've accomplished something major.
Definitely.
But in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't hold the same weight as getting the Chicago Blackhawks back to Stanley Cup contention. So that those are probably my guesses are some of the reasons that, you know, attracted him to this job and the pizza.
Obviously the pizza.
Well, that's a given. It's the thing will be interesting too. Like he saw a new coach come in last year in Martin St. Louis in Montreal and just inject life immediately into the team and things got better and certain players got better. Cole Caulfield, I think, is the greatest example of a guy who was lost underneath Ducharme, and then St. Louis arrives and it's a different guy. And what did he take away? Right. And look at the names he's worked for. You know, he's worked underneath a lot of NHL head coaches, some of those journeymen, some of those retreads that are around forever. And there's a reason, because they're competent head coaches. I like to know what he sort of took away from that. And I also want to know, like, what is his – I know style is very vague, but a lot of the stuff we've read about him since the hire was made is he's very calm. He's kind of measured in his comments. He's not a real hothead. I wonder if he feels like he has to adapt that a little bit to be a head coach. I don't know. Maybe the answer is no. And I think if I was asked that question, I would say, I'm going to do what got me here.
Right.
Right. And just be the same guy. And like Derek King said, there's a lot more that goes with being a head coach than being an assistant or the Rockford head coach or whatever. And that will come in time. But I'm just interested, like, if he plans on changing his style a little bit because he's a head coach. I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder if that's part of his process, his mindset. I think to that point of like doing what got him here, you know, if all the reviews that he's had as a head coach in the AHL and an assistant in the NHL for many seasons and the kind of person he was as a player, you know, a lot of people around the league have said, you know, he was a beloved teammate wherever he was. I think if he can translate that in a head coaching role, I think that's kind of what the Blackhawks need. They need someone who, you know, can bring along the team with them and not, you know, you don't need a hard-ass coach to beat down on kids just because they're not developing the way that, you know, we just talked with Brock Sheehan about the development and the patience. Like, mm-hmm. I think you need a coach who's going to be able to say, like, hey, this is a long-term process of us getting better, of you getting better, Kirby Doc, of you getting better, Lucas Reichel, like being able to focus on those players and focus on that development in the long term, because like, you know, like we saw with the Colorado Avalanche, like, yeah, they had some high picks, some first overall picks, but a lot of those players had to like come along and develop and become superstars in the NHL to one day make long playoff runs and eventually win a Stanley Cup. If he can do that, if he can be that presence as he is now, then that's what got him here, and that's great. I think that's exactly what the team needs.
And AJ asked in the chat, the hardest hitting question: does Richardson plan on growing a mustache? I don't know if we'll be able to get that one out tomorrow.
That'd be when he's here with us. Someday.
We're hopeful that we're gonna have him in that chair at some point, and we will educate him on the legend and the myth of the mustache here in Chicago.
You have to have one to win.
Have one, right? I mean, Jeremy Colleton, no mustache. No cups. I don't even know if Jeremy Collins can grow a mustache.
I don't think so. He had facial hair stubble.
Yeah, he did.
I thought he just drank a big glass of chocolate milk and didn't wipe his face before getting on the bench. We will at some point we will let Luke Richardson know about the magical powers of the mustache here in Chicago.
Yeah. By the way, Greg, you mentioned expectations, and it kind of led me into a nice little reference of the poll we ran after the hire was announced, not officially announced, when we found out about it on Friday. Do you like the hire? 82.2% of Blackhawks fans say yes. So on Twitter, that's basically
100%. Yeah.
That's a lot higher than I ever would have thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know, part of the fun of being on Twitter is to just take a crap on everything. Yes. People do. But I think people are ready for a change.
Yeah, and I think there's not a lot unknown, or there's not a lot of, let me rephrase that. There's not a lot known about him. So it's kind of like you're just kind of forced into some optimism.
There's some intrigue there as well.
Yeah.
There's never being intrigued heading into a season knowing it's going to be bad is a good thing. Get a little buzz going where the product on the ice isn't going to be the one generating the buzz per se.
If the Blackhawks had gone out and got someone like Tortorella or Barry Trotz or something, there would have been so much more to know to be like, ah, not going to work, or we love it. Like,
yeah,
with Richardson, it's kind of just like, you know what? It's something new. Someone from outside the organization, never played for Chicago, never, you know, had any ties to the organization, and coming in fresh and so far has positive reviews. Yeah. So,
and I think the way sports fans are is they make their initial decision and then you have to convince them otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can look at the Bears quarterbacks in a very interesting way. Everybody was very excited about Justin Fields, so he will get a longer leash than Mitch Trubisky got because people did not like it. So Mitch had to prove he was good. Fields has to prove he was bad. If the Hawks had hired John Tortorella, I think you'd have a majority of the fan base unhappy with that, and it would be up to Tortorella to prove Hawks fans wrong, right, and say, I was the right hire. I think Richardson is in the Justin Fields boat where fans are excited about him. They like the hire. They're going to give him the benefit of the doubt, so he probably gets another year and a half before people start to get really, really, really critical about it.
And I think him coming from outside the organization favors that as well. People are ready for something different.
Yes.
Derek King, say what you want about his coaching style, his performance. He was still an internal guy. He'd been around for the last 4 or 5 seasons. This is somebody coming in from a different organization. It's a fresh set of eyes. It's a fresh set of ideas. It's something different. And Blackhawk fans are ready for something different. We need it. And Region Rev, one of our top fans, ask if we have a jar for mentioning Jeremy Collinson. We don't. We just have the jar for we have you to throw a dollar for it's mostly Jay's money in there.
Why now
for mentioning he who shall not be named's name? The reason we have that is because many people just continue to bitch about he who shall not be named, and he's gone. There's not much of the JC bitching because JC's connected to he who shall not be named.
Right.
I blame he who shall not be named, not JC.
And I think JC's damage is done, and he can't hurt us anymore.
Right. I love how he's become JC in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, what just happened?
Whereas
that's great.
Yeah,
I'm just going off the.
Yeah,
off the
no, that's good.
Whereas Stamp, God bless it.
There it is. She's back in the gym.
That was about 40 cents worth of.
He is hurting us from beyond the grave, even though he's not dead. But you know what I mean? Like the damage that he has left behind. Will be, you mentioned the Hoarders reference yesterday, Mario. It's like they're going to be scrubbing those walls for a long time.
Yeah.
My hope is that by the time we get to by the time we get to the start of this upcoming season, that notion, it's never going to go away, but that notion of like, the prior regime screwed the organization.
We know
can start to be fade to the background because the attention can now be moving forward with Kyle Davidson, with Luke Richardson, having a clearer picture of what the rebuild is going to be and stepping forward. It's never going to go away. People are always, people are always going to say that the organization was set back into this rebuild, should already be, a few seasons into a rebuild. But my hope is that, the hiring of Davidson, the hiring of Richardson, and getting through the draft and free agency, by the time we start next season, hopefully this jar can be put on the shelf and we don't need to worry about it anymore.
There'd be no reason to really complain much anymore. We do know that, yes, he who shall not be named screwed this franchise for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
For many reasons. We know all these reasons. We don't need to keep bringing it up. That's my biggest pet peeve. We know. We know.
And he's gone.
He's gone.
Right.
We're trying. Kyle Davidson is trying to fix that. So that's a great point. Once this season starts and we start seeing Davidson's vision start to get played out in its infancy, we can start to get excited about other things.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt in my mind. It is pretty stinking obvious that Kyle Davidson is trying to erase the previous regime one piece at a time.
Clean up duty.
He wants nothing to do with that. Be it getting rid of scouts, front office personnel, players that were drafted by him, coaches that were brought in by him.
Brought back Norm McIver.
Yeah, if you want, who was famously one of his guys.
Yeah.
So he is trying to basically be like, oh, you're associated with that guy. Get out. And I'm okay with that. That's
yeah.
Like scorched earth Kyle Davidson is my favorite version of Kyle Davidson so far. Bring it on. We need it. Yeah. This franchise needs it.
I think he's going to impress a lot of people in his press conference tomorrow, too.
All right, I got something for AJ.
Oh, what do you got?
All right, so he asked about the mustache thing. So there's current Luke Richardson.
Ruggedly right. Handsome.
Yeah,
he looks handsome. All right. You know, he might 500 record in year three. Who knows? However, what if?
Oh, there it is. That's almost too good.
Now, there you go.
There's a Stanley Cup winner right there.
That's conference finals or bust in year four.
Yeah,
right there.
And for those of you listening on the podcast, I've just taken Mike Ditka's mustache and put it on top
that
of
is fantastic.
Luke Richardson.
That is a Chicago mustache, my friend.
That is a Chicago stash.
That is a Stanley Cup winning mustache.
Could be.
That is he's absolutely got, fantastic.
He had Jardinier juice in that mustache. I could smell it all the way over here.
Have you been watching The Bear on FX/Hulu?
The Bear. Oh, yeah. We're going to have to get in on
very
that.
Very good show.
Woo! Big fan.
And if... Speaking of the Bear, Alex DeBrincat was doing a ton of publicity
right.
for
I
the Bear
that.
With, I think it was with Whistle Sports. Ton of publicity, yeah. And that completely went over my head, under my radar, whatever you want to call it.
Go, oh, well, here he is telling us to what the best spots to go in the city that he's about to have to move from.
Well, I don't know. I just found it interesting that, you know, with the Bear, which if you're not familiar, it's a Chicago-based show that you can find on Hulu. It's about the guy from the kid from Shameless running a beef joint. It's a really good show. But yeah, DeBrincat was really pumping it up. Pumping out Chicago and I don't know.
Is DeBrincat on it? Because I've only through episode four.
Now I'm only through the first three, so I don't think okay. He is.
Because I mean, Lynn Bramer, it's your best friend in the world of XRT.
It's a show about Italian beef. I'm in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that conversation off the show yesterday inspired me to go get some Italian beef.
Yeah. There you go.
It was very good. By the way, Region Rev, I lost it, Rev. I'm sorry, but you pointed out how good the interview with Laura Saba was profiling Luke Richardson. I have lost that tweet, but I will pin it to the CHGO Blackhawks Twitter account when I find it.
Well, she said it here in the chat.
Definitely,
too.
Definitely worth going back yes. and watching
was,
that video.
Yeah. Two Mondays ago, was it?
I believe so, yes.
It was June 13th.
June 13th.
The guy who posted that video on our YouTube page.
Thank
just
you.
Go
June
back 13th. Into the...
June 13th feels
YouTube
like a year
channel
ago.
Or yeah. Go back Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast. Right. Bring up that June 13th episode and listen to Laura Saba. She was the first to really give us some info on Luke Richardson. It was wonderful, wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much after talking to her, I was like, okay, let's hire this guy. Mm-hmm. And then... and then Kyle Davidson watched it and said, yeah, I'll hire that guy.
There you go.
So we can thank Laura Saba for getting good. Luke in Chicago. We'll point that out to him tomorrow, too.
Well, we want to remind everybody to go back and listen to all the old podcasts. Listen to them over and over again if you can. We'd appreciate that. Just fall asleep with them playing.
Just put it on loop, yeah.
That would be fantastic.
We'll do an ASMR episode one day.
An easier way to help us is
those
to
post-game shows.
Download that PointsBet app and use the code CHGO when you do. Not only will you get those two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our great web content, and even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO Locker. And if you missed it, online sign-up is available now in Illinois. You can actually download the app right now, start to finish. No need to go to the sportsbook and get on their Wi-Fi and all that rigmarole. Start to finish from your couch in the nude, whatever you want to do.
Hey-o.
You'll be signing up with the fastest sports book, easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life in literal seconds. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. Fellas, before we wrap up, we have several new Hall of Famers.
Yes.
Six, in fact. Roberto Luongo, Daniel Sedin, Henrik Sedin, Daniel Alfredson, Rika Salonen, and Herb Carnegie. And my computer must be broken because I don't see Steve Larmer's name on that list.
What?
It's getting harder and harder for guys like him. With all these great players that are
becoming
eligible and
yeah.
getting in on first ballot. And I'm not saying Roberto Luongo and the Sedins aren't worthy of first ballots. They are. And Daniel Alfredson, completely worthy. But guys like Steve Larmer, guys like Alex McGinley, guys like Bernie Nichols. How is Bernie Nichols not in the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Over a point per game average over 1,100 NHL
I love
games.
Bernie Nichols. Jeremy Roenick.
Tom Barrasso is another guy that probably, if Grant Fuhr is in the Hockey Hall of Fame, Tom Barrasso needs to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's going to get harder and harder for those guys as more of these great players get in right away. They need to have. Is there a veterans committee like in baseball for the?
There absolutely should be.
There should be. Like there's a lot of guys out there that deserve that honor, and they deserve that honor while they're still here. You know, there's a lot of guys that get put in, you know, 10, 20 years after they've passed away, and they don't get to deserve that honor. So, not bashing this class. It's a great class. I love my Swedish hockey players, but. Yeah, we need to start getting some of these guys that were studs in the 80s and 90s in there before we start getting guys that were great in 2010.
And, you know, this is the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's not the NHL Hall of Fame. And I think one of the storylines that came out of this class was that, you know, there's two slots that can be filled in each Hall of Fame class for players from, you know, women's players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, the biggest snub that I was seeing that I read up a little bit about was Caroline Ouellette. And someone who has that kind of resume and is not in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and there's tons of great women's players that are just underrepresented, I think is something that I think the Hockey Hall of Fame needs to do a better job of getting that represented, because there's so many good players. Like we're talking about, like Jeremy Roenick, Steve Larmer, Alex McGillney, like all these great players that haven't been, you know, in it from the NHL. There's so many women's players that have more distinguished careers, you know, when you go pound for pound on it, that have no representation for it. So I think that is something that the Hockey Hall of Fame needs to look at moving forward.
I don't know. There shouldn't be a limit.
Exactly.
Just, if someone's a Hall of Famer, bring him in.
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. Sure. Anyway, tomorrow's the big day. We get to talk to Luke Richardson. We get to see him in person, see if he's grown a mustache over the last few days, and get some questions asked. So that happens at 11. I believe the Hawks are live streaming that.
Yes.
So that should be very easy to find on their website. Then we'll be live at 2 p.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, 2 p.m. Join us live on YouTube, and, of course, the podcast will be up usually around 3:30 or so. The you know, when we're done. So more Luke Richardson coverage to come. We've got more draft stuff, lots of other stuff coming up during the week. But we appreciate you being with us on this episode of the podcast. We want to thank Brock Sheehan for coming by, and the Chicago Seals, Dan Vatch, for making that happen. Lawrence for producing the show. Reminder: we're presented by PointsBet. Use that promo code CHGO when you sign up to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. For Greg and Mario, I'm Jay. This has been the CHGO Blackhawks Podcast.